This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cestrino back with you for a Survivor exit interview, and I am on the road here in Washington, D.C. the morning after we did RHAP live at the National Press Club, and it was, I think, a great success. Hopefully, you will check that podcast and video out from the National Press Club on Wednesday night, and today I am ready to do my exit interview with Dwight Moore to talk about what happened to him in the game. Now, if you're listening to this and you're a regular listener, you're like, this doesn't sound right. Something's off here. You are absolutely right. Very embarrassingly. And really, this is up there on my all-time podcaster snafus. This was the only podcast I was recording while I was away, and I have all this equipment for the live show, and I forgot to bring my microphone with me. So I am recording this with a different piece of professional recording equipment, but it is not the microphone that I normally take with me on the road. So I do apologize about the subpar audio quality for this interview here on the podcast that I am beating myself up. Nothing I can do about it right now. So we're going to have to make it work with what we have here, like a true survivor does. I will also have a feedback show coming up with Ali Lasher on Friday night. So get your feedback questions in, and you can watch the video of this on our YouTube channel at robhasawebsite.com/YouTube. I see that Dwight is on the line. Let's go ahead and bring him in. Hey, Dwight. Good morning. Hello. Rob Cestrino. And very sad to see you go out of the game last night, and really looking forward to hearing about your whole experience. Could you tell us a little bit about your reaction to hearing Cody say that he didn't feel like he had such a great relationship with you in the game?
Yeah. So that, like, I wish I knew further reasons of why that was the case. Like, from day, like, day one, day two, like, he didn't talk game with me whatsoever. I talked game with everybody, not him. He didn't talk game with Noelle or Justine either. So it was like it's hard to build a bond with someone when they don't really talk to you at all. And then also on Vessi, he repeatedly, even to my face, called me like the strategist or whatever. Like, I never talked strategy with him. I was like, how are you going to call me the damn strategist when I don't tell you strategy? Like, this is just, you're jumping to conclusions like a goddamn Olympic hurdler. So that was genuinely a mess. But that happened, like, all the call me a strategist and everything. And Jesse told me all of this. He said it to my face once, like, says, like, you know this game a lot better than me. I'm just like, this guy's trying to put a target on my back long term. But I was hoping that would be kind of reined in as the game went on. What I didn't realize is that on the tri-braid, when he went to Coco, he said this about me too. So my first impression, the first impression Coco had of me also was already just like, he's a strategist, he's a mastermind or whatever. So that kind of, you know, even you see it emerge, I got all four Coco votes. So I don't think that was coincidental. Like, he did a good job of setting me up long term.
Go ahead.
That's kind of it. Like, yeah, I wish I knew further of why exactly. But for me, it was like, if he doesn't want to, like, talk game with me too much, I can't keep trying to force it. And unfortunately I kept trying to force it, and it's got what glued me out, you know. Maybe I should just, like, let that go at some point and be like, this ship sailed. But I kept trying to ring it back in.
Let's talk a little bit about Jesse and what a roller coaster this was, your relationship with Jesse. He got down on one knee. He proposed. You were a survivor married at one point, and then he was sleeping on the couch, Dwight. And now he
took over divorce.
The whole divorce has gone through. What went wrong with your relationship with Jesse?
I don't know, because I really, after the Justine vote, I was like trying to not be mad. I was like, you know what? He lied to me, but cool. We can move forward from here. And then the NECA vote revealed some trust between us. I was like, okay, they could have voted either myself or Noelle if they wanted to on the NECA vote, but they still voted to get NECA instead. So I was like, okay, listen, trust is being built here. I never really lied to him about anything in the game. The only thing I lied by omission was Noelle steal a vote. I knew about that the moment she got it, and I never told Jesse because, like I said, Noelle and I were like this. Actually, he never showed it. Noelle and I were like super tight from day one. So I don't know where things fully went wrong between Jesse and I, because I was really trying to keep working with him. I kept him involved in every, like, all the plans I had of like Baka Bessie. Like, here's how we can go further with the numbers here. We keep going. We have like 4-4. It was 5-4 at the time. Then, you know, Ellie went home. But we go Baka Bessie. We hit 5-4. We take some of them out. We have Noelle steal about to gain power after that. Like, long-term plan, we're set up. So I think, from what I understand, Jesse realized that Baka Bessie was more beneficial for me than him, which is completely fair. Like, as soon as the merge hit day 12, I got close with Ellie, Janine, and Owen super quickly. Like, we're all super tight. Like you see, Owen and Janine are trading advantages with me and Noelle. Like, that wouldn't happen without an immense level of trust. So I think that's kind of where I went wrong, is realizing, even though I think Baka Bessie would have benefited all of us, like, to make it further, it might not benefit him as much as it benefits me to make, like, the end game. So that's probably where I got cut, of like, I was strategizing a lot, but the strategy benefited me more so than him.
Okay, so you had a close relationship with Ellie and Janine and Owen, but they got blindsided at the vote previous to this. Did you put up any sort of a resistance to the plan of go with Gabler and Sammy and then vote out Ellie?
So I thought about it, but I just didn't realize. I didn't think it'd be better for me long term. One, I was already made aware of Cody's comments to me of the strategist Coco thing. So I felt if I like started pushing back on that too much, I'm leaning into that again. You know, I'm becoming what they think I am. So then I become a target and I go home soon. And also, if I can appease Gabler and vote out Ellie, Baka Bessie might be salvageable long term, because if I keep Ellie in the game, Baka Bessie dies, because Gabler had made it clear he and Ellie will never work together. And Gabler and I, from even our journey on day two, like, we talk when we hit the merge, and it's like we trust each other as well. Like, he told me, like, the idol and everything, he showed me everything, was completely honest. So I was like, okay, I can work with this guy. So if Ellie goes, even though I am like blindsiding Janine here, I'm still super close to her. I feel like I can pull her back in and we can go forwards. And you see on the votes, I had Gabler, Owen, and Janine working together on the next vote. So, like, in regards to Baka, it worked out. Now, I did lose the Bessie members at the same damn time, so that's unfortunate. But like, the goal there was just to appease as many people as possible, so I had numbers going forwards. And yeah.
I want to talk a little bit about all of the maneuvering with the idols to get out in front of the knowledge is power. And so, okay. So Janine gives you her idol. Now, can you just confirm that you went out of the game and you had Janine's idol on your person?
Yeah, she did not get that idol back.
Okay. All right. How bad did you feel that happened?
Awful.
Or were you only just thinking about like, hey, don't worry about Janine's idol, I'm out of the game?
No, it was generally, it felt awful, because like, she trusted me with the idol. I was just like, you know, I can't, like, a lot of my decision making was like, okay, I can't let this idol go out of the game, because she trusted me a lot with this. And I was trying to, like, I also, you know, the human in me, which is like, I just sent home her best friend. So it's like, and she trusts me a lot. I have her idol. I don't want to just play it willy nilly just to guarantee, like, to be clear as well, I knew that day 14 was the last breeder. And so for, as a fan, I was like, when she gave me the idol, I was like, I can just play this in guarantee jury. But I don't want to have that thought in the game. Like, that's just selfish. That's just outside the game reason. So I was like, if I'm playing this idol, it needs to be, I know that I'm catching enough votes to go home. And I had enough trust in the people I worked with to where I thought that wouldn't happen. And with the whole, like, maybe I should have played it. Well, I should have played it. But I really had enough trust in the people I worked with to not play the idol. And that's good gameplay on their part. You know, like, they had me fooled.
Were there people that flipped against you that knew you had Janine's idol?
Yes. So Sammy and Jesse both knew I had it. So, and I actually knew Sammy flipped on me before Tribal. So I knew I was catching five, and I tried to undo the split and put five on James myself. It wouldn't have mattered because Jesse and Cody weren't with me. But right before, so about 5-10 minutes before Tribal, I see Sammy talking to Cassidy, Carla, and James. So I was like, okay, he's flipped. So I'm talking to Owen, and I'm like, okay, Owen, we need to undo the split. You put your vote on James instead, and it will be 5-5-2, revote, 6-4, or what? I the numbers of fudge at this point.
Yeah.
But that was the plan there. We didn't finish the conversation because we got pulled, like we got put on lockdown to go to Tribal, like during that conversation. So I was like, God damn it. Like, so things happen so fast at the end of the day. At Tribal, I'm telling Janine, like, whispering in her ear, just like, we vote James instead. Don't vote Ryan. And she doesn't do that as well. Like, I was like, even if I thought they were going to do that, just because I told them to, but in the end, it just didn't work out. So I was screwed either way. But maybe I should, like, at that point, maybe I should have just been like, they're not listening, play the idol anyways.
Yeah.
But
you knew they were flipping, but you didn't know they were writing your name down. Correct.
I knew I was catching all Coco's votes, and I knew Sammy flipped. I did not know Jesse and Cody flipped. So even with five coming against me, I felt confident that we could put five on James, cause a split, cause a tie, and then vote him with the seven we had. The seven being all of Vessi and all of Baca minus Sammy. So that's I felt like I had numbers on that side. I just genuinely Jesse and Cody did a good job of blindsiding me. The blindside when I mentioned I was blindsided by those two only. The other five I knew were voting me out.
Can I ask a question with the idol that you got? Did you have time to examine it close enough to notice that it was made out of beads, the same beads that Cody was asking for you from your tribe? And that,
So Cody actually told us he had the idol. Like, he told all of Bessie that he had it. Right after we got back from the merge feast thing. He just pulled me to the beach and said, I have the idol. And I was like, okay, he pulled Noel aside. I have the idol. Okay, he pulled Jesse aside to tell him he had the idol. So I was just, so we knew at that point that he had it. I knew it was about the beads. It's actually funny now to think about it. As soon as he's telling me about the beads, and I was like, okay, cool. And this was during Ellie's vote. But also I looked at all the bags for Coco, and one of them, they had the other half of the beads on there. So I just like sat on their bag for like 10 minutes, and Jesse's like, what are you doing? I was like, I don't want to be in the beads. And he's like, it's pointless at this point. Like, they already have the item. I was like, okay, cool. But it's just like a mess. I found the beads and just like, I must obtain all the beads now to stop them. Like a goddamn maniac. But yeah, I did know about the idol from Cody. Yeah.
Can we talk a little bit about Noelle? That there was a lot of talk in the episode. Oh, Noelle feels like she's running things. Noelle's calling the shots now. Did you get that sense that Noelle was really on some kind of a power trip?
Like, no, not really.
Yeah.
So from my perspective, Baca, Vessi, I guess she was the most vocal one for that vote in particular. For several reasons, she was vocal about the James vote. Yeah, I don't think she had like amassed power at that point. If you look, like, she voted for Cassie at the last Tribal. It's not like she was like running the whole damn show. So I think that was just you know the game. People just find reasons for anything. So it's like sure, Noelle's scary. Dwight's loud. Like, Noelle and I were like this out there. Like, they didn't show it. Noelle and I were tight from day one. So that was just another reason to get me out. Which it's fair. I get it. But yeah, she wasn't like she's a good player. Damn. Like, I'm not saying like she was just sitting there, but like, she was not like running the show like an overlord of telling people what to do all the time. It was like, we had a plan for that tribal. She was making that plan very vocal. And I guess people were just like, this is the problem. So yeah.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about your relationship with Sammy? It seems like that you two kind of hit things off across tribes, and seemed like that you had like a very like positive relationship coming into the merge. Is that accurate?
So Baca, I actually trusted him the least of the five. But I still felt good with him because Noelle got super tight with Sammy. So for me, I was like, okay, Noelle's like my number one. If you're good with Sammy, I'm good with Sammy too. So that was, trusting my ally in that situation. Like, I'm going to trust my ally's judgment on this one. And we'll go with that. But yeah, beforehand, like the Baca Vessi, like, I think you're talking about like when I was like helping him with the puzzle and everything, like the skee ball challenges. Yeah. That was just, to be very clear about that, Baca Vessi started on day 7. They helped with the turtle puzzle. We still lost it. And then I asked Baca to send Noelle on the journey, and Sammy and Ellie don't saw it. So for me, I was like, okay, they had my back there, and then we kept helping each other continuously until we hit the merge. So Baca Vessi was set in stone like early on and came up with it in parallel.
We heard on the episode last night that Jesse and Carla had become very close. Did you see that that relationship was forming, and was that concerning to you?
Yeah, I saw it. Actually funny, because they were talking about, you know, they're both being Berkeley alum and then I'm a Stanford alum. So that was the red flag. Just like, surely they won't come for me, right? But they did. but yeah, no, I knew they were getting along. And once again, that's and before we hit the merge, I was telling him, it's like it's okay if we connect with different people as long as we keep trusting each other. Like, if we have people from different parts of the game talking to us, we can compare notes and figure out like what's actually going on. So I was like, I felt like I had the confidence that we were like the closest of the three tribes, because Baka, we get there and then they implode within 2 seconds. And Coco, we knew that Ryan was left out of the last vote. So I was like, okay, they have cracks already forming, but we voted unanimously on our last vote. We can kind of, you know, stick together for a little bit. So I wasn't, well, of course I knew Jesse and Carla had a good relationship. For me, once again, it's like trusting my ally here. It's like, okay, as long as you are feeding me what they're telling you, we're fine. And on the Ellie vote, that's what happened. I knew exactly what was going on. And from every possible angle, everyone was telling me what they were doing and who they're voting for. And yeah, the next, I was like, okay, I'll trust this. So yeah, I saw it happening, but I wasn't like alarmed. I trust my allies in that situation, and I respected their game to have allies, and they respected mine to have my own allies, which was what I thought. But I guess I can't have other friends.
Yeah,
I'm kidding. I'm just being facetious. But yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it's Survivor. You know, sometimes you get close to too many people and you get cut.
Right,
that's what happened.
Okay, is there anything else from your Survivor experience that you feel like it's important that we should understand?
I think it got covered pretty well. Yeah.
Okay.
I guess the only thing is the knowledge is power fiasco. It's funny. I got to camp first and passed on knowledge is power.
Oh, you had a chance to get it.
Yeah. I went back to camp first and I chose not to grab it.
Would that have changed anything for you?
Probably not. I probably get even more votes, to be honest.
Yeah. It might have been worse.
Yeah. So that's my thing. To go on my knowledge is power inspired rant, public knowledge is power, I just see as flawed, because people who had the advantages are now inspired to come get you. Mm-hmm. So when I found the clue with three people, I'm like, all it takes is one of them to tell everybody I have knowledge is power, and then my game is sunk, because Cody, Janine, and whoever has a blue idol will want me gone immediately. Yeah. So it's like, why would I want this advantage, which is literally a detriment? And even if you play knowledge power successfully, you have a public idol. That is like, why would I want that? So yeah, no, I could have grabbed it, but I thought I would be talking to you anyways with the souvenir. So
it might be flawed for the players, but I think it's working exactly the way they want it to be working.
I would agree.
Yeah. Okay. Real quick, I see you've got your Survivor swag on today.
Yeah. Yeah. I do indeed. Yeah. The nice little flag, and then I got this
swag and flag.
Exactly. Only red. We don't wear blue here. Coco sucks.
All right. All right. Well, cool. Dwight, it's really nice to talk to you. Thank you for making time to talk to them. And we're very sad to see you go out of the game.
I appreciate it. Yeah, it was fun. I loved every minute of it. So super happy.
All the best outside Survivor. Okay.
Thank you.
Bye. All right, everybody, there you have it. There was Dwight here talking about everything that went on in his Survivor experience. Seems like a really nice guy, and sad to see him go out of the game. He's got all of his Survivor stuff on today. So I love seeing people go through this experience and come away still really loving the show that they spent a couple of weeks of their life going out there to go make. So nice to see he still has the enthusiasm for it. And sorry to say that we do not have, of course, the always enthusiastic Jordan Kalish with us for this week in Survivor History. That will be back next week. We'll get it back going on the exit interview. It was just too many moving parts to get Jordan here with us for this week in Survivor History. This week, I am going to be heading back home to begin coverage of The Amazing Race from Thursday. We'll have an exit interview and also a recap of this week's Amazing Race episode coming your way. So be on the lookout for that. Of course, thanks again to Steven and PG for holding it down for me on the Survivor Know-It-Alls on Wednesday night. Check that podcast out as well. Thank you so much for checking out this episode of The Exit Interview. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.